This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
It's time for the Wrestling Perspective Podcast. Don't listen, watch, don't watch. Those are your only options. We don't care what the fuck you do over here. So sit back and enjoy what we're about to present. The Grand Marshal himself. That's right. The Meat Hook, Dimitri Young. Dimitri, what's up?
Oh, how you guys doing today? Hey there, Rob. How you doing? The shirt of today is Andre the Giant. Pro Wrestling Tees.
All right.
I need more.
Where'd you get the shirt? Is there a story behind how you got that shirt?
Seeing as a 2X, I had this shirt probably about 10 years ago, and I most likely ordered it on Pro Wrestling Tees.
All right. Pro Wrestling Tees. I know you're watching. Give my boy a call. He's looking for shirts or indie wrestlers. If you are an indie wrestler, that's right. We're a whore stuff, or at least he is, not me. I'm a classy broad. Bob Wilkins from Fightful, one of my good friends. He's been around forever with me. This guy and Dimitri, back when you and I and Lars and Petey did the podcast, this guy was behind the scenes writing articles. He was the first one. Secret, anytime we do interviews, he's the first one I send the podcast to because he writes up great stuff. One of my all-time favorite people in the industry. I like him more than Sean Ross Sapp. Sean, I know you're watching. Psych. I like him more than you. Rob, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. That's something to be somebody to like me more than Sean. That's something. Wow. But
I just got your Venmo. Yeah. So thank you for paying me.
Thank you. Okay. I was going to say, if it didn't come through, then it's not coming through at all. So, but
reverse charges. What?
Yeah.
So, Dimitri, I got to tell you before we jump in and start talking a little wrestling, some news and whatnot. This week, I sit in my garage. I turn into a nice little man cave, put up a couple dartboards. That's my new addiction. Light a cigar. I'm sitting back and I'm like, I'm going to pick a random pay-per-view and just kind of watch it. That's kind of my thing. I don't know, somewhere around 2005, SummerSlam, I turn on and totally forgot you were on it.
There you go.
I knew Survivor Series 2005. There you are. I sat back, watched it. I'm like, oh my gosh. And I know we talked about this many, many, many moons ago on the podcast, but can we talk about it again? Because first and foremost, I like legitimately was like, oh my God. No, I took a picture. I even sent it to you. I posted it on Instagram. I geeked out like you were doing it live. How does something like that as a ball player come to you? Do you approach them? Does the team approach you? Does someone from WWE call and say, hey, do you want to do this? How does something like that come to fruition?
Well, the way that came about back in 2005, when I was in the heart of the car collection, my buddy Dave Bailey, rest his soul, he had connection with with the whole wrestling business, and he contacted some people from WWE because they performed at Joe Louis Arena. And they were like, hey, there's a speaking role for you. Edge is going to have his show, him and Lita. And basically, you're going to defend the city of Detroit. And I was like, cool. So first and foremost, the pay-per-view started at like 8 o'clock. We were there around 1:30 in the afternoon, kind of like a baseball game. Game starts at 7. Most people think that everybody shows up at 6, like a little league game, but no. And it's just like that in professional wrestling. And we're kind of in this waiting room. I had my two sons with me, Owen and Damon. And I had Scott Shields, the former pitcher with the Angels. He was there because he's from Detroit. And another buddy of mine who was a bullpen coach for the Angels, Steve Solis, we went to high school together and he was teammates with. But anyway, on to the story. We get there early and there's a lot of stuff that goes on behind the scenes, you know, when they're going over everything that they have to do. And so they don't just wing it, they actually rehearse it. And my role was speaking with Edge. And first I had the microphone about a mile away from me. It was kind of like out here. And guess who came over there and talked to me? It was Vince McMahon himself.
What?
And yes, he came over there and he introduced himself, nice as pie. He told me to have the microphone close and slow down when you talk, so everybody can hear every word that comes out of your mouth. And so when I said my lines to Edge as we're practicing, he said, nope, do it over. Nope, do it over. Too fast. Slow it down. Get it up. I was like, damn, he's like a real coach right here. But then I wound up getting it down. And then as I'm on my way out, going back to our waiting room, I got to meet The Undertaker. And at the time, he still had Sarah under his neck. But talking with him, that was when he made his grand return. And it was so cool to talk with. He was a legend back then, but, you know, looking back at it, I was so nervous talking with him. Just about the whole wrestling and me being a baseball player, and I'm a big wrestling fan. And I think that was around the time where more of the professional wrestlers was mingling with athletes and stuff, which made it way cool, because now when I did the whole speaking thing, a lot of things that they said was true. You'll have some athletes that come down there laughing and they're not selling it. And when I did my skit, I wanted to make sure that it seemed real to the people. Hold on, Edge, you really came to Detroit and you start talking shit like that? You don't even have a world heavyweight championship under your waist yet? I mean, it's like, come on now. And when I did the whole thing with Edge and Lita grabbing the mic from her and then defending the Tigers, the Pistons, and of course the Red Wings. Sorry, Lions, y'all didn't do shit. But it was so good to represent the city of Detroit because the crowd was so into it. And I understand when the wrestlers talk about getting that pop. Like, that's real, man. That's like strong energy that you're trying to get out of the people in Detroit. And I achieved it. So when I had to take my son to the restroom right after everything ended, and passing by all the wrestlers that were in the back sitting in the, wasn't even a gorilla position. It was just like a whole bunch of them were just sitting in an area watching the pay-per-view themselves. And they came and they all gave me a standing ovation. And I was like, man, I must have did what I had to do.
That's awesome.
Yep. Rob, do you have anything? Because I got a couple more questions, but jump in if you have any questions.
I just... more than anything, like when you went live, because you've done interviews and stuff like after games and you get used to the camera in front of you, but it's probably got to be a completely different when you're on WWE TV, you're just this and you're actually part of a storyline. What's going through your head? Are you just making sure you just maintain everything that Vince said? Are you thinking about any of that? Or are you just like, let's just get through this. I can't believe I'm here. What were you thinking?
I forgot my lines during because the match before was that blood fest between Triple H and Ric Flair. And that was like a 25-minute match. And the whole time, I'm just totally blank. And I'm like, okay, I'm supposed to say. But then when everything started happening, everything just came back to me. And it just, everything just flowed. And I guess that's, I don't know if that's a talent or that just sheer luck. But I was glad that I didn't stumble or anything like that. Hold up. I meant to say, like, that just would have been terrible, especially being live.
Now, if people haven't seen it, go back and watch it. It's a great segment and very touchy because at the time, you know, you had the steroid or stuff and they poked fun at you for not taking steroids, but injecting cheeseburgers into you because you're a big boy. Yeah. How do you not laugh your ass off at that moment? How do you bite your cheek? Because watching this, I'm laughing. Rob, I'm sure you saw it. How do you not, you know, maintain composure? Because you knew it was coming, right?
No, I didn't. Ooh. I did not know that Edge was going to hit below the belt like that.
Oh, okay.
But that was pretty damn funny, though. And I think I was just more into being a character. Don't ask me how I didn't go to acting school or anything like that, but I seen, at that point, at least 15 years of pro wrestling, actually more than that, because I started watching in like 84, 85. And so you see all the characters and it's like, oh, I get to portray. And I had the cornrows and stuff. I was the meat hook. And, you know, it's like, all right, what's your persona going to be since you're now in the wrestling scene? Because when I was with the Reds, we would always do the Too Sweet and all that stuff. We had the NWO Wolfpack, NWO Hollywood. And I had teammates, Sean Casey, Danny Graves, you know, guys like that that were also in the professional wrestling and had that love just like I do. So it was like, all right, this is my opportunity. Don't fuck it up.
Because we're going to get to some news in a second, but like, I'm still like a little kid. Who channel? When you got that mic, what was the guy? Who was the guy you were like, this is who I'm going to be?
I didn't even really look at it like that. I think I went from Dimitri Young to the meat hook. Mm. I had that like infamous persona, a little mysterious, big badass, had some sweet corn rolls and stuff, had a flashy blue shirt on, kind of like how the Rock's look when he had his new electrifying entrance. And so I had to portray somebody that has some badass hair and shit.
All right. Anything else, Rob, from you before we move on?
No, I'm good. It was fascinating to hear how that story came to play and how you got involved with it. So that was very, very cool to hear.
By the way, did you talk to Edge afterwards?
You mean in the future? I talked to him a couple of times, and when I would do interviews, I would kayfabe it like we still had this little grudge going.
There you go.
Did you tell him the cheeseburger line was the best when you talked to him?
Yeah. Oh, that was awesome. Calling me Mark Henry.
That was fun. By the way, go watch it again. It was phenomenal. All right. Let's jump into some stuff. Rob, you and I hadn't talked about this, but Dimitri, you and I have. And this year's Hall of Fame inducted class, not sitting right with me, guys. I'm going to be honest. The U.S. Express, and listen, I get why, and we'll talk about it here in a second. Rotunda, Barry Windham going in as U.S. Express. I know Barry is in right with the Four Horsemen, if I'm correct, or no.
Yes,
I don't, I just did the show and we talked about this and I think it was.
Wait, what show
think
was
it
that?
Was him.
I'll get real quick.
Coexisting
with Rob and Maggie. I think you're right. I think it was Barry Windham because it was Barry Windham because I was thinking it was not. Because him and Vince had a did not like each other. So it was Barry Windham that I believe that got in for him that went in there. And
looking back, I think Rotunda deserves to be in by himself. I don't know why. And I, once again, I get the Bray Wyatt thing, but you either put Bray Wyatt in or you wait till next year. But, you know, don't glad hand with the U.S. Express. The U.S. Express are not a Hall of Fame tag team, guys. They're two guys that should be in the Hall of Fame, but they're not a Hall of Fame tag team. I feel like this is a cop out.
I don't think it's a cop out. It also represents the first WrestleMania.
Yeah,
if you like look at Triple it like H, that. They were involved. Yeah, the first WrestleMania. And We're going to get an announcement next week or right before WrestleMania where Bray Wyatt is going in, and rightfully so. And then you have his dad and his uncle going in all at the same time. That just, you know, the WWE is a lot about the family. You know, you got the Anoa'i family, you have the Rhodes family, the Ortons, you have a lot of those going on. And then they're just representing two great guys. You know, Mike Rotunda, who's probably one of the most underrated people ever, and then Barry Windham not too far behind him. So it's good to give them a little bit of shine, especially with their son slash nephew going into the Hall of Fame.
And it was Barry Windham. So it was Arn, Tully, Barry, J.J. Dillon, and Ric Flair.
So then, yeah, I know. I listen, you know, at what the Hall of Fame is. It's not like the baseball Hall of Fame where there's still some questionable things there. It's not like football. It's been popularity and who you can book and what town you get into. I understand that. And I get the connection. But I think you minimize Mike Rotunda's value as a Hall of Famer on his own by putting him in first with the U.S. Express. I think that's my only issue. You know, if forbid, if Bray was still alive, the U.S. Express would not even be mentioned in going in the Hall of Fame. They'd, maybe Rotunda, maybe, but the U.S. Express, something just doesn't sit right with me with that way of looking at it.
Aren't the Bushwhackers in?
Yeah, probably.
Yep. They are.
But there's a difference between the Bushwhackers and U.S. Express.
What was a legitimate two-time tag team champion? The other ones was licking foreheads and shit.
Well, I mean, I see where you're coming from, but with the Bushwhackers, they were the sheep herders before that, and
yes,
they were a team. So I think, Dennis, what you make a good point is that does Rotunda deserve a spot by himself? Absolutely. The way I've always looked at it, if you're in the WWE Hall of Fame, you're in the WWE Hall of Fame. That's the way I look at it. It doesn't matter on the team, like J.J. Dillon, Barry Windham. That's just how I look at it. That's me.
China, where China deserves to be in separately.
She does. Yes. I'll agree with that. And I think I agree. Mike Rotunda does deserve a spot by himself as well. But saying that, I think Barry Windham deserves a spot by himself as well. And that's down the road, maybe, down the line. But I think I can't say if the reason why U.S. Express is there because of Bray. I don't think that's the case. I think, we don't know per se. I mean, the only people that know this would be Triple H and whoever else part of WWE decides this, but they made it make sense, which is usually what I want it to be. Like they said why on the video, Triple H said why they were part of the first WrestleMania. But I think a part of that, why I'm so okay with it, is because I like both those guys.
I definitely agree with that.
Well, Rob, remember who brought you on the podcast, all right? Next time I bring up a point and I'm looking for some support, I want you to be like, ooh, who sent me that link?
You didn't send him enough Venmo.
Yeah.
I got to send it back to him now for the support.
There you go.
All right. And Muhammad Ali. All right. Another one. Listen. Dimitri, I won't steal your thunder. Go ahead and talk first. I'm going to shut up, and I'm going to sit back and let you talk first.
All right. Well, while Dennis and I was conversing via text yesterday about the whole Hall of Fame thing, you know, my thing was Muhammad Ali was one of the, I mean, when you look at American history, I mean, he was a big difference maker going from Cassius Clay to Muhammad Ali, going to jail for not going to Vietnam, standing up for his beliefs, transforming into a Muslim, and being able to, Nation of Islam, but being able to represent the United States and himself to be one of the most polarizing athletes of all time. And yeah, his part was a ring referee. Okay. But he did something for the WWE, and that's part of WWE history, having this man stepped foot in our domain, and not to mention his bout with Antonio Inoki back in the 70s. Mm-hmm. You know, he did have a bit part in wrestling history, and it's just being recognized by Triple H, who has a different, more progressive mind towards what should be in the Hall of Fame. And since this is his first one, you know, he's going, he's coming out swinging.
I think it's a good choice because you make a great point. He has a big part in the first WrestleMania, so you got that. That was a big sticking point because WrestleMania was a big gamble at that time. They brought in Mr. T and stuff like that for WrestleMania, or was that WrestleMania 2? Yeah, WrestleMania 2. But I mean, that was the thing. WrestleMania was a big like gamble per se for the WWF back in the day. So getting Muhammad Ali there, that was a big deal. He plays a big part in WWF history, in my opinion. But you also bring in like Antonio Inoki, that match. I mean, that was when I first got into wrestling and I heard that those two had a exhibition match. I seeked it out because I was just very curious about this. Like, I've heard nothing but Muhammad Ali. Like, I know that name because my dad loved all, and boxing was one of those sports that was really popular with my dad. And so I knew Muhammad Ali, like that name, when I was very young. And then just getting into wrestling, and I knew Antonio Inoki's name because I got into the magazines and stuff like that. I'd find this match, and I found it, and it was not nearly as great as I thought it would be, but it was still for what it was. It was good, and I think with the history there, it's a
well. I will tell you, my initial reaction was wrong. That's why I wanted you both to go first, because I can eat crow here. First, I was like, really? Look, I love Muhammad Ali. I know what he did. I watched all the videos. I love the pictures of him going up against the Beatles and all that stuff. I shed a tear during, what was it, the 96 Olympics when he lit the torch, and not to minimize his place in sports and his place in history, not to minimize that. But going back, you know, I go WWE Hall of Fame, really. But then, you know, after you put me in my place in the text, and I sat back and went, all right. I went back and thought about it. I did watch the Inoki fight, and I thought, all right, you know, good for its time. I think we, and I will correct you, Rob, and one thing you said that I disagree. We look back now with the eyes of wrestling that we watch now, and we look back and go, was it that great? But at that time, I think it was phenomenal for what that presented at that time.
That would make perfect sense. I mean, I think so, like, to an extent. I think you hit it right on the head there, because when I was younger and I watched that match, I thought it was fine. Thinking back on it now, it's like, eh. But you're right. At the time, that's when it mattered, and it got the job done. So, yeah, I think in the long run, I think everything you said right there made sense. And at first, when they first said it on Monday, I thought he was already in. That was my thing. I honestly thought he was already in, so.
But I don't want to give you the pleasure of telling you, Dimitri, over texture, right? I figured I wanted to do it on the air as a surprise, because I figured you thought I was going to come out with some stupid facts. But you know what? You changed my mind. I sat back and I went, all right, I get it a little bit more. I understand it more than the U.S. Express. I'm not backing down off the U.S. Express thing, guys. I'm taking this one to my grave. All right. Break up the U.S. Express, put them in separately. You're paying the same plane tickets. You're paying the same hotel fare. Just let's get rid of the U.S. Express name and put them in separately. They deserve that honor, guys. Not to hash old things, but yeah.
I mean, that's your point. To your point, but I think it's...
I do, but I just want to disagree with you because I want to disagree with you.
All right, well... Going into that, into something else, wrestling nerds, put on your deodorant, because CJ Perry's about to be single, guys. I tell you what, out of all the wrestling couples, she was married to Miro, just in case you're watching and you're like, who's CJ Perry? That was one of those couples I really thought that they were going to make it, or they were going to last as long as wrestling couples do, which when you marry people in the same industry, a recipe for success. You know, I won't be shocked if, Rollins gets divorced eventually. It's just that I don't know. I think it's almost like dating someone you're on a movie set with for the time being. When you're stuck in that little bubble, you're in love, and then you grow out of that industry and then things fall apart. Now, I don't know why. Rob, you're smarter than I, and you probably read the articles. I'm just a headline guy. But what are they saying about this?
That's the thing. Like, when it comes to the personal stuff, that's the one thing I love about where I work. we don't get into the personal stuff at all, like as far as like relationships and stuff like that. So whatever happened between those two, it's one of those things where it sucks for them. You know, they're hurting, and I'm a huge Miro fan, so it's just one of those things where I feel bad for both of them. But I honestly, the time when it comes to like inside it, I couldn't tell you a thing, because the way I look at it, that's her private life, and that's them. One thing that I absolutely love about Fightful is we don't pay attention to the relationship stuff, like only if it's something that's news, like big news worthy, where we need to kind of like look into it. But this is something that's private to them. Biggest news out of it's they're getting divorced, and we don't know why. And if it's something they wanted just to talk about, that's for them to decide. It's just not in our terms. That's just the way I think we look at it. But I feel bad that they're getting divorced. I wish it worked out for them, but that's just the way I look at it. That's just my opinion. It sucks for them, but.
Well, Dimitri, are you not going to fight over her? Is this what they're coming down to?
You can fight with yourself. I'm cool.
But if we were to speculate or anything like that, I mean, they're both around each other all the time, and I'm going to go in a direction where I feel that there'll be less of a controversial reasoning of their divorce. I bet you somebody wanted children and somebody didn't.
Ooh.
That will be my guess, because to me, being an outsider looking in, and even though they're portraying characters and stuff, I mean, you got to love somebody enough to be able to all the time. And I'm not thinking anything bad like infidelity. I'm thinking they love each other so much they want to bring something into the world. Maybe Miro wanted children, and CJ had a more prominent role on AEW now. Maybe she's not ready. You know, there are some women that are like, yeah, I can take a year or so off, but she's been out for a long time, and now she's just getting in a groove of things. That'd be, you know, that I won't call it a career crusher, but I mean, that's just another setback. And she can command the camera, and she's obviously good looking to watch on television. And that's gonna be, if I thought there was anything, it would be, you know, wanting a child, not wanting a child.
Well, the rest of this podcast is just for CJ only. Now hear me out, Miss Perry. You should lower your standards and go out with a fourth rated ugly podcaster like myself. Now hear me out before you say no.
Is she old. Taller than you?
Yeah. Oh, wait, by probably a mile. And more successful, better looking. I mean, she really has no reason to even, you know who I am. But I'm just saying. Now,
she might need a slump buster.
Yeah. Trust me, I'm sure her slump buster is way better looking than any of us here. But I'm just saying, Miss Perry.
Slump busters are supposed to be hideous.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm in. I've
heard the Mark Gray story about that. And wow, just my goodness. That's where I first heard the term. So with Mark Gray. So
damn Mark Gray spilling all the industry secrets. But I'm just saying, Miss Perry, listen, I'm shorter. I'm old. I don't want kids. I don't even like my own kid, okay? There, I'll put her up. She's 15. I'll put her up for adoption. Give me a call. That's it. You have my number, I'm sure.
No, she don't.
Probably right. All right, let's move on. Road to WrestleMania kicking in. Reports coming out now that The Rock is sticking around and maybe having a more prominent role on television after WrestleMania. Guys, yay or nay, do we like it? Do we not like it? I have my opinions here, but Rob, you're the guest. I'm going to sit back and listen to you talk first.
If you're telling me I get more of The Rock on my TV, sign me up. Sign me up. I will take The Rock on my TV anytime I can. That's just the way I feel, because he brings an energy to the show, because you don't know what he's going to say. He has that kind of power too. Like, we already know he runs the show. He spends time. It sucks for the wrestlers if he goes over in time. That's why they have to choose to go like late in the show to put him on. And even when they do that, they run out of time. So the guy commands the screen. He adds to their business. He's getting people to watch it. Haven't watched in a while. WWE's red hot. You just keep going with it. I don't know how long he'll be around after Mania, because I know he has movies and things he has to film. So we'll see, because it'll be interesting to see what goes on with him. But I say if he sticks, he sticks. So,
Dimitri?
I was just listening to Rob, man. You're exactly right, man. He is so fun to watch. Oh, my goodness. You know, it's like Roman Reigns is the man. He is the tribal chief. He even takes a backseat to The Rock. I mean, The Rock's entrance, that entrance right there is sick. And he's better. I think he's better now because he had the acting and he's been on top. And now he gets to portray something that first got him into the actual business. And the stuff that comes out of his mouth, it is, I mean, I have to go on YouTube sometime and watch some of those old clips and just listen to how, first of all, he's captivating. Number two, you can't take your eyes off of him. Number three, he's going to have you on the floor laughing at something that, you know, you totally don't think of. And he just says things that really put people in their place. That's why when you hear about certain guys in the Attitude Era, you know, getting buried, like Badass Billy Gunn, when The Rock came out there and blasted him, and then there goes his push. You know, when you have words that can cut like a knife, yeah, I want Rock too. Yeah, I sit there and watch him anytime.
Yeah.
You know, I went back and I was thinking about this because he's kind of one of the last of those guys we enjoyed from the Attitude Era. And I've said it before, when these guys start going away, even John Cena, like him or hate him, now that he's gone, you kind of miss him a little bit. The Rock is one of those guys. I back that he's the different Rock than what we had during him and Cena, because that was so PG and so watered down. And that wasn't the Rock we knew. I didn't know who he was trying to be during that era that he popped up those few times for WrestleManias with Cena, but I didn't like it. This Rock right here, I could watch this Rock go for 10 more years with the stuff he's doing. Maybe not in ring, but as a personality. I don't want to see him go. I want to see him be like a Brock Lesnar. Show up twice a year, stick around for a month or two, make me miss you, go away, and then come back.
I mean, I'd be fine with that. As long as we get him back, that's the way I look at it. He's the better reason, so.
Yeah, and once again, totally different. I mean, you look at The Rock kind of portraying the, you know, Die Rocky, Die Rock, and it's still so different, but yet so close to that Rock that we kind of grew up loving, and only The Rock can get people to boo him. Like, this is the Rock that helped change heels being cool. Granted, I'll give it to the NWO, Nash, and Hall first. But he was part of that generation that made heels cool. Now, heels are cool and we all love them. And somehow, he's getting us to boo them.
Yeah.
That's power.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I don't know what's next for him, where he would go after this. I'm bummed out that we get him in a tag team match. I'm not a huge fan of this direction that they're going right now for WrestleMania, and I'm praying that they somehow change it up or way. I think this is one of those cases where, you know, WWE listens to the fans, and I think the fans are dead wrong on the direction that they were steering this. You know, Dimitri, you and I have talked. I don't know, Rob, if you and I talked about this, but, you know, Cody finishing the story, and it's been hot on every podcast. I know people are probably sick and tired of people talking about it, but I didn't want him to finish the story at WrestleMania. I wanted him to have that climb on, to get screwed by the company. That way we can get behind him more and be like, hey, you know, he deserves this chance. You screwed him. You won the Royal Rumble. You know, like, a Daniel Bryan. I think that's the point everybody points to. And for me, watching Cody, I don't know what's next after Cody. If he wins the belt, I worry that there's nothing next for him. That's for us to get behind him and push him and make Cody our man. And who says story has to end at WrestleMania? Survivor Series, SummerSlam, many other great wrestling pay-per-views where that story could be ended a little down the line where you can set up something. But I don't feel like there's a setup after it. And I worry that if the story ends, you know, we get 2 months of Cody and we may get bored. Am I seeing this wrong, you two?
No, you're saying it's right, because this actually started with AEW when he battled Chris Jericho for, if I lose, I can't challenge for the World Heavyweight belt anymore. And so all he was getting was the TNT title before he left and came to WWE. So what we're hearing is a lot what we heard with AEW. So I agree with you 100% that the story does not need to end at WrestleMania. There's got to be some shenanigans with The Rocks, Old Sokoa, Jimmy Uso, you know, maybe another Samoan to come out there that's going to make a surprise debut at WrestleMania. Have that thing pushed to after 1,400 days as champion so he can pass Hulk Hogan. I mean, no one's going to pass Bruno Sammartino. That's just like, that's like Bruce's record, you know, Cy Young with the 511 victories. Nobody's going to get that. So they had a modern day. So this is going to be part of the modern day where Roman Reigns will lose to Cody Rhodes, and then there'll be some sort of feud, because there's going to be a lot of feuds, and Rock, I think, is going to be wrestling. He'll probably have about 3 or 4 matches. And one of them, he's going to contend for, it might be with Rollins, or who knows, but you're right. There's a lot more direction with Cody chasing for the belt and royally getting screwed, where the fans are going to even realize, hey, you're getting screwed here, kid, instead of, all right, he's finally the champion. Okay, who's his first opponent? Oh, Roman Reigns again, or The Rock, you know, and then he's going to be Super Cody now? Really?
Rob?
So I see your, Dennis, but this is a thing. Like, fans have just been wanting this for so long that I think they just kind of messed up, like, by going this route. But by no means if you get the opportunity to get The Rock, you get The Rock. What I honestly, and I don't know what caused him to do this, there is a possibility that when The Rock went out there that first time, like, yeah, what we have planned is not going to work. Like, it could have been something like that. Let's go back to this. They had a different plan because something changed. We know that. And I think that's just me here. Did Rock go out there and say, holy crap, these people, they don't want me. They want Cody. They want to do this. This is the time. Maybe we just finish. We figure something out for me later. I don't know if that's the case. And it's The Rock. He doesn't have to wait for anybody else either. So there's that. But with how popular the WWE is, I put that into consideration, how they're selling, how they're doing so well. It might be time to pull the trigger on Cody, because you're very hot now. I know, like, a lot of people are like, well, where does he go after he wins the title? I know, like, one thing that a lot of people have been talking about that they want to see is them and Randy work again against each other. So you got that. There's a lot of potential matchups for him, and it'd be interesting to see what route they go, because he'll be on SmackDown, I'm sure, for the foreseeable future. He might be on both shows, who knows, because he likes to work. So I just think this is, in the words of Cena's song, the time is now. You know, I think you just go with it and go from there. I don't think push it too far. Because I lose interest. I think people would lose interest over time. They get tired of it.
Well, just so you guys know, I pulled this up. Bruno has 2,803 days with 681 defenses. Next is Bob Backlund with 2,135 days, 920 defenses. Third, Hulk Hogan, 1,474 days champion, 468 defenses. And then Roman Reigns, 1,288 days with only 54 defenses. Now, you look at his defenses versus days. I think it's a different industry. I have no problem with him only defending it 54 times. Makes it feel special when we see him in a ring when he defends it. Do you guys feel like he's any less of a champion compared to those guys based off his defenses?
No, I don't.
Different era.
All right. Well, that makes for a good podcast for you guys agreeing with me and very quickly.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
End of that conversation.
Yeah. Wow.
I think that's like you said it perfectly because he's Roman Reigns and make it feel special. I mean, now whenever they announce it, he's going to be on TV. They announce it a week ahead because they know people are going to want to tune in because of Roman Reigns. They make him feel special. And when you do that, that plays a big role. And I look at Cody Rhodes the same way. When Cody came back, promoted him like crazy. And like coming in next week, Cody Rhodes will be back. And they did a countdown that first Raw, like in 47 minutes, Cody Rhodes. I mean, they were doing a countdown for him. So I think he, with how popular it is, WWE is right now, and again, talking about ticket sales, I think you just go with it. And he's been a great champion so for them because that's the gig.
Now, as we wrap this up here, I know one of us is a professional baseball player who has to give hidden lessons, and the other two is probably going to go play Call of Duty and then do Fightful stuff. I'll let you guys figure out who's doing what. Anything else that we've not touched on in this quick little podcast tonight that you guys feel like should be brought up on the show until next week? By the way,
nope. Well, yeah, he'll be back here shortly, but I'll go ahead and start. Lately has just been kicking on all cylinders. Will Ospreay is just awesome as he can be. You're back. I just took over for you, like please what do. You were
Thanks.
Saying.
I'm useless anyways.
Will Ospreay, AEW, he's just been awesome since he's got there. You know, and then they added Okada, and then likely Mercedes tomorrow or Wednesday. So they're running on all cylinders right now, too. Wrestling's just as popular as it can be right now. I'm excited to see what route they go. And we're getting a dream match with Bryan Danielson and Will Ospreay next month. So I'm pretty pumped. And I just love where wrestling's going. It's looking great. So,
yeah, I like what you said because now you have, because I like watching AEW, I like watching TNA, and of course, WWE and NXT. And unlike there, Dennis, the long-term storytelling has been absolutely tremendous. You know, it's not something happens and then, okay, 2 weeks later, we're going to have the match. And then it's like, where do you go from here? It's like you're stretching those stories out. Like the Cody story is being stretched out. I'm loving that. And I love the storytelling with Swerve Strickland, Adam Page, and Samoa Joe. And now with Wardlow getting in the picture, because him and Samoa Joe had some battles in the past, I'm seeing if Wardlow's going to beat him or is Swerve Strickland going to beat him. But somebody's going to beat Samoa Joe. And, of course, I'm going for Swerve.
That's who I want.
And for me, I've been really sinking my teeth into the NWA. I'm really trying into MLW. I want to like MLW so bad, and they're not doing anything wrong. It's the problem for me is when I have to search for wrestling, I lose interest in wrestling. And I think I've made this point on, you know, to each one of you guys, that, you know, Monday nights on USA is a destination. Once WWE leaves to go to Netflix, if I'm any wrestling company, I'm trying my damnedest to take that slot on USA. Whoever's gonna, because USA will be dumb. Yo, NWA could fill that slot, take some time to build up, but people are used to watching Monday on that channel. Put a little budget behind them. I think they could succeed there. MLW, I want to say I believe it. TNA, I think TNA on USA on Monday Nights Live, game changer. I feel like, and I think I've said this, and I don't know if you guys disagree or agree, money aside, it's a big mistake for WWE to leave that time slot on that channel for Netflix. I'm not sold on it as a wrestling fan. I have Netflix, and Netflix has gone up, twice over the last year? And I'm worried when this deal gets done and they actually move, the price you're about to pay for Netflix now. Because now they're starting to do live stuff. You've got Jake Paul and Mike Tyson coming up in the summertime. Next year, you got WWE. they're going to kick that price up, and it's going to price a lot of people out. It's going to price me out. I'm worried about that.
Well, I mean, the one thing about Monday nights is with USA, I get your point, but I mean, they still have SmackDown. Yeah, they do have SmackDown on Friday, so I don't know if they would necessarily put him have another wrestling show on there. But even if TNA moves like on Access to Monday nights, that would be a smart decision. I mean, you still have that option. I think they would be crazy not to move their show to Monday nights too. I agree with that 100%, because you're right. Monday nights, people are used to watching wrestling, and some might not have Netflix. There's a lot of people that don't have great internet access, and that's going to play a big role in WWE. I thought for the longest time that would going to Netflix would not be great for them, because of the that would hurt them in the live attendance part, because I think that's how I felt and how I feel. But we'll have to see what it does. It's very interesting, very intriguing to see what they do.
Hook.
Ooh, you did mention MLW and TNA, some of the smaller wrestling organizations stepping into that Monday night time slot. Maybe not USA Network, but there should be networks literally fighting to get that spot. You know, like getting the organization put on your channel, letting it be your flagship. You know, because the viewers are going to sit there and watch it if they have easy access to it. Oh, I just turned to channel 35. Bam, there it is. And it's like they got their wrestling, especially on Monday, because they're not everybody watches Monday Night Football when it's football season. And a lot of people don't want to watch The Bachelor or anything like that. They want their feel of wrestling. A lot of people in their lifetime had grown up with Monday night and wrestling being synonymous with each other. So if that was happening, I would be fiending for some wrestling on Monday night. It's just part, it's in my DNA that on Monday I need to watch some sort of wrestling.
Yeah, exactly. No.
And to put a bow on this and wrap up the show here in a second, Rob, I think you kind of hinted at this, and I don't know if you meant it or not, but when you were talking, I thought, what kind of a coup would it be for WWE to take Raw and then move it on Tuesday or Wednesday on Netflix and take SmackDown and move it on Mondays? Holy cow, do you think, could we see that kind of move happen? And imagine the money where you don't lose wrestling, Raw. I think SmackDown would succeed on Monday night. I mean, they did all right when they were taped on Thursdays in the late 90s, early 2000s. Maybe that timetable was a little wrong, but you guys remember that time period on, was it UPN maybe?
They used to do like Raw on Mondays and SmackDowns on Tuesdays. I just don't think with the way they did the contracts already, I don't think that's an option for.
They're way smarter than me.
From what I understand, I don't think that's an option because Netflix will have first rights to a lot of stuff too. So I don't know how that will go with moving things around. So I don't know if they can move SmackDown to a different night, but I don't know if they can move it to Monday night. I do know that their agreement gives them 4 specials on NBC a year. So I'm they already have that Friday night part stacked. WWE already has that like figured out, but I honestly don't remember all ins and outs of it. I would need to do some more reading, but I don't think they can change. I think Netflix has the Monday Night Raw thing, and I think that's what Netflix is planning on doing. I think they're planning on staying on Monday nights, but that does give them the option too to always change it. I guess I would need to do some more reading on it.
Rob, spike the ball. Tell me I'm wrong. Come on, you were so close. I was waiting for you to go, oh, Dennis.
Well,
you're
it's not. An idiot. I mean, that's the thing. You are, I think you are, because the reason why is because of like what I said, I don't think that they can change it. I don't think they do back to back. I think they have it figured out Friday nights on SmackDown on USA because they have. There's a reason I negotiated it that way, and I think there's a reason why NBC Universal went that route too, because giving them that 4 specials a year on NBC, that's a pretty good little thing for them, I think, too, because I don't know about you guys, but I would love to see them do like Saturday Night Main Event because they don't have crap going on like set in the summer, like on NBC, because Saturday Night Live is reruns. And
that's a great idea. Maybe Triple H will do that.
Yeah,
I think Triple H watches. I'm sure he's watching right now, and you know, he has nothing else to do. All right, we're gonna put a bow on this. Dimitri, you're doing some stuff. Let's talk about this real quick.
What stuff you want to talk about? Being a grand marshal at opening day for the Cincinnati Reds, myself and Pope Dog Baby Pokey Reese.
Yeah, where you've already shot me down about being your plus
and
one.
I got the idea that's not happening, Dennis. But being the grand marshal, man, it's exciting. I mean, I don't know what it entails. I read that. I go here, gonna ride the car. We're gonna wave because we're in a parade. We're gonna get up and we're gonna speak. I don't know what we're speaking about, only because it's opening day, and I guess you're gonna have the butterflies and the jitters because it's gonna be 50,000 plus people out there, and so I got to go into that 2005 Survivor Series mode, and Demi Hook has to come out and start talking. And of course, this ain't going to look like I'm Grady from Sanford and Son. And the hair is all going to look good. So I'm not going to look like Ragamuff out there in front of the folk.
Will you mention me or Rob in your speech?
I will mention the wrestling perspective podcast 100% because they're going to want to know what I'm doing these days.
Look at that.
There you go.
Cincinnati, we're coming for you. That's right. Cornering that market. Yeah. Card collecting. You're getting back into the card collecting industry.
Oh, yeah. In a sense, you know, I got to start talking to some of these people so I can promote myself to go to these card conventions and stuff and talk about my collection that I had, the PSA 10 rookie card collection. Just the avid love of how I got started collecting. Some of the high points and the pitfalls that I ran into, you know, with collecting cars, the people that helped me along the way while I was collecting cars, the audience that got the cars that, you know, had an appreciation for because they saw it was a real passion of mine. And now I get to speak about it because now people are calling me like an OG in the card game, and that's quite the honor to have, because now it's like everybody's collecting. It's cool. When I was collecting, it was just like the whole wrestling thing. Oh, dude, you watch wrestling? You know it's great. You know, it's like, ooh, you collect baseball cards? Oh, yeah, nerd. It's like now, it's like fucking big banking that shit. It's like, you're not cool if you're not collecting.
That's right. And hitting lessons, find them on the internet for hitting lessons if you live out in California.
I don't call it hitting sessions.
Hitting sessions. That's right.
Yeah, doesn't that just sound better?
It does. It's actually very smooth. That's why you're Dimitri Young and I'm not, sadly. Rob, listen, I'm a huge fan of your podcast. I've told you many times. I've been trying to get booked back onto it. Dimitri, it's a fun podcast to do if you ever get invited to do it.
Oh, you'll get invited. I definitely invite him sometime. You'll be on there too, Dennis, again. I promise you. We'll make it happen.
But yeah, does the Grand Marshal go before me?
You already been on there.
Years ago.
Let me get some.
All right. Yeah. Rob, tell us figure it out. Podcast. Promote it.
Yeah, every Friday at 3:00 Eastern on Fightful Overbooked. It's coexisting with Rob and Maggie. We have a good time. We talk wrestling for an hour and a half. And it is a non-PG, PG-13 show because get ridiculous, but we have fun coexisting with Rob and Maggie. It's ridiculously fun. We have a good time, and it's you can catch us at every Friday at 3:00. Otherwise, we are on Fightful Overbooks podcast, and then you can catch me on Fightful.com.
Where's Maggie from? Because people are hearing Maggie for the first time on this show.
Maggie is from Bulgaria, so she's pretty much neighbors with Miro.
Yeah,
so
it is the best. They are so funny together. I had a blast when I did the podcast back in the 1900s, very late 1900s, before podcasting was around and before Rob was in high school. Like he allowed me to do the podcast. So I was very thankful that Maggie is hilarious. You get that wrestling, I hate to use the word perspective, but the wrestling view from a Bulgarian, which, believe it or not, very interesting. So, Maggie, we love you out there. I'm glad you're back on the podcast. She took a hiatus, so I'm glad you guys are back. She went out and, you know, was doing a good deed as a bartender out there in Bulgaria. See, I did my homework.
There you go. But yeah, we're back. So been doing episodes, even sometimes it has different scheduling, but we're still doing a weekly. So we're going, we're good.
All right. And everybody, like I said, if you're watching on the Wrestling Perspective feed, go over to Fightful, watch all that stuff over there. Amazing people. We love them over there. If you're over on Fightful, go to the Wrestling Perspective feed, because my kid's either going to college or community college, and that's a matter of how many people subscribe. So if you want my kid to go to community college, don't subscribe. If you want my kid to go to real college that I can't pay for, then subscribe. Her future is in your hands, asshole. So right thing. All right. At the bottom, email the show. We'll get to your questions. As we had to, you know, since Lars is on hiatus and Dimitri is now back in, my love of my life is here. We're getting more the meat hook emails coming in. So we'll do an email show soon. We love you guys. Thank you. Wrestling Perspective at Gmail, Wrestling Perspective Podcast at gmail.com. If Dimitri did it, he wouldn't have flubbed it. So, all right, guys, have a good night. We'll say goodbye off the air. Podcast over. Go home. See you kids later.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.